From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Rob Parker here, you there. Let's go. On the podcast today, Players Union boss Tony Clark. We'll talk with him and Seattle Mariners TV broadcaster Dave Sims. That and much more. Get started now.
Batter up.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball.
Number one.
Bravo to Boston Red Sox manager Alex Cora, who said he will not, N-O-T, go to the White House on Thursday with his team to celebrate his team's championship from a year ago with President Donald Trump. And what I respect the most about Cora's decision, and of course he has the right to make any decision he wants. That's why we live in this country. But the thing I love is he didn't make up any excuses. He wasn't vague or lame. He said he wasn't going because of the way that Donald Trump handled Cora's Puerto Rico in the aftermath of Hurricane Maria. Plain and simple. We heard David Price say he wasn't going because it was baseball season, but the rest of the team was going. But in this case, I love that Cora stated his reason why and moved on. And there was a funny line by Steve Buckley, the longtime Boston Herald columnist who left and went to The Athletic. He said minorities and black players weren't going to the White House, that basically the White Sox were showing up to Trump's White House. I thought that was awesome.
Number two.
Shohei Ohtani returns for the LA Angels on Tuesday night, which is a big deal for Major League Baseball to get another star back in action. He, of course, was injured last season, had Tommy John surgery on his pitching elbow. So he's back. He's going to be batting third against the Tigers in Detroit, and he's only going to hit this year. And I think that's a shame because it robs us, the fans, of seeing a guy who could pitch with that kind of talent and hit as well. First time we had seen something like this since Babe Ruth played Major League Baseball. So he was a star out of the gate last year and was something to watch. People flocked to see whenever he pitched and whenever he was playing for the Angels. Hopefully, he will be able to bounce back this year, just hit, let the arm recover, because I hope that they don't stop this and make him just a hitter, especially if he has a good year with the bat, and then they could just say, well, he plays well as a hitter, we should just leave him as a hitter and not go back to pitching. I think that would be a shame. He was that good as a pitcher in the major leagues a year ago. So, Ohtani, welcome back to baseball, and I hope and I wish that you will return to the mound, if not this year, at least next year, and be a double threat, something that people want to see in Major League Baseball.
Number three.
I don't know about you, but I'm all into Chris Paddock from the San Diego Padres. Are you kidding me? This guy not only has a fastball and can strike people out, and I love that about him, but he's willing to stir it up a little bit, mix it up. When he faced off against the Mets Monday night in San Diego, he was talking smack. Paddock was calling out Mets slugger Pete Alonso. Alonso had earned a National League Rookie of the Month for April, and Paddock made his feelings very clear. He said he was coming for him. We'll see on Monday who the top dog is. And then Paddock went out there against National League Cy Young Award winner Jacob DeGrom, and he turned in a brilliant outing, 7 2/3 innings, 11 strikeouts, including Alonso twice. And then afterwards, with all the swagger in the world, Paddock said, quote, would you rather be rookie of the month or rookie of the year? Nothing against Pete. Guy's a great guy, and he well-deserved the rookie of the month. But I just wanted to have a little fun out of it, get me fired up, get my team fired up. He did. The Padres beat the Mets 4-0.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
Let's welcome in Tony Clark, the executive director of Major League Players Association since 2013. Of course, the strongest union in the country. He had a 15-year Major League career. Tony, welcome to the podcast.
Rob, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. You know that, Tony. So let's just jump right in. What's the current state of the relationship between ownership and the union?
Well, I think as much as anything, they have their interests. We have ours. We would like to think that there's an intersection between a number of those interests, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done and a lot of discussions that need to be had. And so we'll work through those and see how they manifest themselves moving forward.
Earlier this spring, it looked like collusion was going on. None of the big guys were getting signed. You know, people were wondering, spring training had started. And then all of a sudden, boom, Manny Machado signs for $300, and then Bryce Harper signs for $330. Mike Trout signs for $430 million. So the floodgates didn't open. What happened?
Well, I think that's a very good question. Every offseason, once the offseason expires, we sit down with agents and have a conversation about what their experiences were and their conversations were against the backdrop of how that particular market may have manifested itself. These last two markets have been unlike any we've seen in a long time. And so with Manny's agent, with Bryce's agent, obviously Mike was not a free agent, but with his agent as well, along with a number of other players who were able to sign during the course of the offseason, we investigate each of those interactions and each of those discussions and each of those contract negotiations to determine how it all happened. This offseason is no different. Those investigations, those discussions are ongoing. It seemed to demonstrate there at some point in time that teams actually did have money and were willing to spend them. We have no idea why the timing was what the timing was. We also have no idea why Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimball are still on the market, which is another issue and concern that I know not just a concern on our side, but fans alike who are still trying to figure out why their team hasn't figured out a way to bring either of those two players in. So a lot of concerns still remain, a lot of questions remain unanswered. But based on what we saw this offseason, which was different than what we saw the season prior, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in that regard.
Also, Tony, if I remember correctly, you were saying at some point there are too many teams not trying to win, i.e. the Miami Marlins. That's my opinion, you know, where they strip down the team, they don't sign any players. Is that like a bad thing for the union as well, where teams are looking at it, if we can't win a championship, basically, we're not going to compete and we're not going to sign any players?
Well, we think it's bad for the game. There's so many different phrases that have been used over the years in regards to our game. When teams show up in spring training, hope springs eternal, everyone's excited about the possibilities. You don't hear that near as much anymore. And a lot of that stems from the inactivity that we see during the offseason and the inactivity that any one individual team seems to be focused in on or engaged with. What I mean by that is you can improve your club during the offseason with the talent that's available out there. And we seem to have fewer and fewer teams who are interested in or engaged in those conversations. And so whereas hope did spring eternal for all 30 teams, what's manifested itself over the last few years is much different.
Tony, what about young players? And we saw Ozzie Albies sign a 7-year, $35 million contract with the Atlanta Braves. And, you know, $35 million is guaranteed, but long-term, it looks like he sold himself short. Is that a good deal for players to jump on some guaranteed money, or is it to wait it out a little bit before you put your name on a contract that long for that kind of money?
Well, I think every player needs to make that determination for himself. We engage the agent, we engage the player, and make sure that they have as much information as possible against the backdrop of the decision that they're looking to make. The system is flexible enough to where the players have that right and the teams have the right to approach them. You know, as a result, there are going to be deals that have some folks scratching their heads, and there are going to be some other deals that have folks nodding to suggest that deal made sense. We've seen them all, and we've seen them all over the course of our game's history. So with that flexibility still intact and with players still able to make those individual decisions, it's going to continue in some fashion or another.
How about you, Tony, doing this job? What do you like about running the Players Union, and give me also what you don't like?
Well, I love our game. I'm passionate about our game, and our fraternity is the most important thing to me. So having an opportunity to breathe into and engage in discussion about our game and how to move our game forward, I enjoy that. To the extent that that also provides an opportunity to protect and advance the interests of our members, those that have come before, those that are active now, and in an attempt to provide opportunities for the next generation, my son being one of them who has aspirations of playing pro ball, I enjoy all of that, and I'm grateful and humbled by the opportunity to continue to do it.
Tony, yes or no answer to finish up. Kyler Murray, did he make a mistake passing a baseball for football, yes or no?
No. The answer is a little bit longer than that. The no is solely tied to him doing what he's passionate about.
Tony, thank you so much. Class act, my man. We'll see you down the road. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate the time, Rob. Anytime.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
FS1's Anthony Masterson is his name, and BS Analytics is his game. What you got, Anthony?
Oh, you love acronyms, right, Rob? Here's a fun one. BABIP, or batting average on balls in play, which simply put, measures how often a ball put in play is recorded as a base hit. Most seasons, the league average on balls in play is about 300. Now, the stats site Fangraphs identifies three main components of BABIP as defense, talent, and luck. Great defenses will keep hits from happening, lowering the average on balls in play. A talented hitter will hit the ball harder, giving himself a better chance at base hits falling in, and then luck takes its turn as well. Now, for hitters, a large sample of batted balls with a high BABIP means continued quality contact. But in the short term, a higher BABIP than a player's career mark can mean that regression is coming. Take the White Sox Tim Anderson, who won Player of the Month thanks to a league-leading 435 BABIP. His career mark entering this year was 326. Don't expect that hot start to continue at the same rate. Now, for pitchers, BABIP is useful because they have almost no control once a ball is put in play as defense and luck take over. Take Max Scherzer this season. He's struggling thanks to an unsustainable 380 BABIP, which is the highest in the NL. His career mark coming in was 292. Look for Mad Max to get back on track once he finds a little luck.
All right, maybe we can use that information, maybe not. Thanks, Anthony.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
Let's welcome in Dave Sims, the TV play-by-play for the Seattle Mariners, a friend of mine. What's happening, Dave? How you doing? Thanks for joining the podcast.
Doing well, Rob. I'm glad to hear you got the podcast working, and pleasure to be on with you.
No doubt about it. Let's talk about those Mariners right off the bat. Started out 13-2, kind of faltered since then, but first, when they started the season in Japan against the Oakland A's. Ichiro got to play. Tell me what that experience was like, Dave.
Well, it was my first time in Tokyo, and that was an experience in itself. I mean, the cleanliness, the efficiency of how they operate over there was pretty impressive. Ichiro, seeing the fans react to Ichiro, I liken it to Muhammad Ali, Frank Sinatra, Bruce Springsteen, Elvis Presley, James Brown wrapped into one.
Wow.
I mean, they were going absolutely berserk at the mere sight of them. And I just kept, you know, they played two games against the Yomiuri Giants. And those were two games that didn't count their exhibition games. But I was hoping that, for you old-timers out there, that somebody would do a Denny McClain to his Mickey Mantle and just lay one in there so he could hit it out and let the place go nuts. He did have a couple of pitches he could hit, and it just didn't work out. I think he went hitless in the exhibition games, and then he went hitless in the regular season games against Oakland. But it was a thrill to be a part of it. It was really something special.
Help me with King Felix Hernandez. Is he done? He got beat up by the Yankees on Monday 8 hits, 6 earned runs, 7 runs total in 5 innings. ERA is now a chubby 5.20, 1-3 record.
Yeah, it was his worst outing. But he's had the outing before. He went 7 innings in a 1-0 loss in San Diego. And he had another one where he left the game with a 10-2 lead. And a bullpen blew it. And the Mariners eventually won in the 9th inning. Jay Bruce pinch hit single. He's not the same pitcher he was, say, back in 2010 when he won the Cy Young, where he had the dominant fastball. He doesn't have the dominant fastball anymore. He's got to rely on the curveball. That's his best pitch, curveball and a changeup. And last night, the Yankees' game plan was attack early in the at-bat, and they jumped him real early. And it was 2-0 before he could even break a sweat. And it was a lot of hard contact. I don't know how – it's probably going to be an in-and-out kind of year. It's his last year in his contract, making $27 million, and I highly doubt that this group would be bringing him back.
This team is now 19-18. This is as of Tuesday. Are they filet or bologna, especially, Dave, when you think about who they got rid of in the offseason, Cano and Diaz and Segura, Paxton. I mean,
Nelson Cruz,
they just loaded up the truck. When they got off to the great start, some fans hit me up on Twitter. They're like, it's a mirage. They're not that good.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. There was a lot of big names that were jettisoned, and their whole deal is to look, as they call it, a reimagining, looking at the 2021 season, because when they got rid of all those names that you just mentioned, they replenished with a lot of guys who are highly regarded from multiple organizations to replenish the farm system, which was very low regarded. So they're hoping that, many of the guys that are here now will hold the fort, and the guys who are, building up reps and gaining experience in the minor leagues, that they're going to come up here in the next couple, 3 years and be a real contender. So that's the hope right now. But I tell you, given the division's not real good, I mean, I think they still have a real good chance for second spot behind Houston. Houston should win this division, barring injuries. I mean, if they were to have injuries like the Yankees have right now, maybe that's a different story. But they are obviously the clear runaway favorite.
Dave, last thing. You're one of the few African-Americans who are doing baseball, especially play-by-play, and especially a non-former player, man. I'm very proud of you. What is that like? And tell me about your love in about a minute for baseball.
Well, I've loved baseball from minute one. I mean, growing up in Philly, I was lucky enough that my father was a humongous sports fan. And I grew up going to games at Connie Mack Stadium. I used to see Wilt Chamberlain all the time at Convention Hall. I would always see Jim Brown and when the Browns would come to town. And I was a pretty good athlete, and I knew that if I could stay in it this way, if I didn't make it as an athlete to being as a writer or a broadcaster, and I've been able to do both. And I am one of the few Lone Rangers in baseball, as you said, a non-former player division. It's me, Robert Ford, radio voice of the Astros, and Mike Claiborne does pre-post and some play-by-play for the Cardinals on radio. It truly is a Lone Ranger situation because we only have, out of 750 players we might have 60 African-American players. And sometimes I look at it and it really bumps me out and it's very depressing. But I love the game, and I enjoy the people that I work with, and I get to travel first class all around the country and call baseball games. So I don't think you don't have to worry about throwing a benefit for me.
No doubt, you're one of the best who does it, and Dave, we appreciate you being on the podcast, my man. Dave Sims.
Anytime, Rob.
Thank you, bud.
Fasten your seatbelt. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Here comes Parker's top three MLB teams this week. Number three.
The Houston Astros returning its core. They're getting good starting pitching. The squad is getting healthy, and they've been more consistent than, of course, Boston and Cleveland. So they're going to take the number three spot. Here's the controversy.
Number two.
The Los Angeles Dodgers. I know people in L.A. ain't trying to hear that. The Dodgers have a 23-14 record as of Tuesday, and Cody Bellinger is just running away with the MVP. I mean, right now, aside from being second in home runs to Yelich, he's first in everything else. Average, hits, RBIs, runs, on-base percentage, slugging, and OPS.
number one.
But I'm still sticking with the New York freaking Yankees. They're number one. Look at the success continuing without their stars. They're a mass unit in the Bronx. 11, 12, 13 players. We can't even keep track. Yet they're 20-14 as of Tuesday, and they continue to win despite not having their stars. They are the best team in baseball.
Take out the paper, then the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This trash is from Jonah Aronson. He's ripping the Red Sox. They're flat. Their stars aren't playing like stars. They obviously have World Series hangover. And they didn't sign Greg Kimbrell, their stud closer. And their bullpen is struggling. It stinks. And so do the Red Sox. If you want to join in and you want a chance to win a new era baseball cap, all you need to do is hit me up at Rob Parker FS1 and trash anyone or anything in the world of Major League Baseball.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out. Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Major League Baseball sells 70 million tickets a year. That's for the major leagues. It outdraws the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and MLS combined. And don't tell me, oh, well, they play 162 games, that's why. No, if you combine all the games by all the other leagues, they still outdraw all of the other sports combined, and that's with the fact that all baseball games are on television. People don't have to show up. They show up, they fill the ballparks, and it's an incredible thing. Major League Baseball is the national pastime, hands down.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.